Amen. I'm glad I'm on the winning side tonight. Well, I tell you, I sure have enjoyed it, hadn't you? Oh, I want to tell the Lord I love Him tonight. My soul. I thank the Lord for the good worship, don't you? I want to thank Him for being so kind and merciful to an old ungodly sinner. How He came to me when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him. When I could see no way, He makes a way. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? I love Him. That's all I need to say. Well, I'm glad He's been a wonderful Savior to me. I wish I could say I've been a wonderful son to Him. But He's been an awful merciful God. An awful merciful Savior. Isn't it wonderful that you came to Him unworthy, unholy, ungodly, unfit? A lot of us would even say unlovable, but yet He loved us. Came to Him like that, and yet even still to this very day, 38 years later on down the road, I still keep coming back to Him and saying, Lord, I failed You again. Help me, Lord. Oh, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, I thank God that that blood reaches farther down, that sin has ever made its stains, washes you, and then He puts that robe of righteousness on you, and He transforms you into the image of His Son, puts the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and gives you a brand new life. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so many things that He does when He comes in. Hallelujah. I bless His good name for that. And I'm thankful tonight that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm saved. After all that good worship and that good singing, I wouldn't want to be in a building like this tonight and all of God's people and not really know that I was really saved. And I think that a lot of folks today have taken a little cheap imitation of what they really need. That's right. I fear that a lot of those that in the house of the Lord, we spend all our time trying to get them to desire to do and declare to do and dedicate to do. I fear that a lot of them have never really passed from death unto life. Yet the very moment you got born again, the life of God came on the inside of your soul. The Bible said in John 5 that you and I were passed from death unto life. Something came into you that never was in you. That is, death lived there until the Prince of Life moved in. And when He moved in with holy power and holy desires and spiritual instincts and all of that. And when you cried out to God, such an eternal transaction took place in you that your life will never be the same. Amen. No, I cannot explain to you how an old ungodly sinner came to church on April 25th, 1982. And if the truth would be known, I couldn't even tell you all the things I'd done the night before. Oh, but I can tell you that that preacher preached the Word of God. And God worked a miracle in my heart. And back there where I was, something sacred, something divine, something holy, something supernatural took place. Back there where I was, thank God, through the power of the gospel and through the persuasion of the Holy Ghost. Back there where I was, way back there at the back, the long arm of God reached back there where I was. and the Holy Ghost put the hooks of conviction in my life, and he started drawing, and he started drawing, and he started drawing. And boy, I tell you, when I stood up, I said, God, I'm going to Jesus. I'm headed to the cross. I need forgiveness. I'm going. I don't care if the whole crowd laughs at me. I'm going down the aisle so I can get born again. And hallelujah, I got down there and got saved. And God did something that nobody else could do. And I believe, I really believe, and I fear in my heart that there's a lot of people today that just never have been born of God. I was meditating on it the other day. Paul said it like this. He said, they profess they know God. And a lot of people do. You don't want to die with just a profession. This is not what I come with, but just hear me out. Listen to what God has for you tonight. You don't want to die with just a profession. You want to die with Christ in your heart. You want to die with a real testimony of transforming power and grace. You don't want to die just with a Sunday school pin on your lapel. You don't want to die just with a perfect attendance record at the church house. No, you don't want to die like that. You don't want to die having everybody thinking good thoughts about you. That's not enough. Oh, they profess they know God, Paul said. But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and in every good work reprobate. And I fear there are three tremendous things. Go ahead and be seated. I fear there are three tremendous things that are missing in many modern conversions today. And I'm afraid that so many today sadly have accepted something that is far less than the real offer of God in the gift of salvation. James said that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And there is something that happens in a person's life when they get born of God. In fact, it's a supernatural transaction. You, when you got saved, you did not just make a decision for Christ. Even though you did make a decision. You did not just make a decision for Christ. No, in fact, something took place in you far greater than just a decision. If all you made was a decision, then nothing divine took place. But I understand there's a deciding process. I understand this, but what took place in you was nothing less than a miracle of God Almighty. A miracle just as real as when Jesus touched the blinded eyes of Bartimaeus. A miracle just as real as when he touched the untouchable leper in Mark chapter number 1. A miracle just as real as when he met that demoniac and the demons fled from his life. A miracle took place in your life when you come to Jesus Christ. God worked a divine miracle. An eternal transaction took place in your life on the very day that you took Christ, turning from your sin and turning to him. A miracle of God took place in your life. And Paul said it like this when he was testifying one time. He said it like this. He said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To open their eyes. You know, we often say this, I just don't see and I just can't understand why they can't see it. Well, the reason they can't see it is because their eyes have not been opened. That's why you say they seem to just be blind. They are blind. The Bible said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, you and I, the day we got saved, God opened up our eyes. He opened up a brand new world to us. And we saw Christ as the only Savior, as the only substitute, as God's final sacrifice. And you and I that are here tonight have had our eyes opened up. Praise God. And the Lamb forever, 'tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. A miracle took place. The very day that you got born again, He took you from blindness to sight, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Now, we often say sometime when somebody that we know, maybe a young person, and they got out in sin, we'll say sometimes, I hear it so often, well, they just got with the wrong crowd. Well, I hate to tell you this, but I was the wrong crowd. And so were you. The Bible tells us not only were we in darkness, but the Bible said we were darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And if you'd have come to my life on April 24th, and even up until that time after I came to Christ in that Sunday morning service, all you would have seen would have been darkness. Darkness in my life, darkness in my choices, darkness in my path. I walked and stumbled down a path of darkness, darkness in my preferences, and darkness in my passions, and darkness in my pleasures. Oh, but thank God, there came a day when the Lord of light came and shined on me, when the Son of righteousness stepped into my life. And glory to God, when the light broke in, thank God He turned me from darkness to light. And I say glory to God and the Lamb forever. It's wonderful tonight to be in the light of God and to know you can walk in the light and live in the light and one day graduate to a city where the Lamb is the light thereof. He took us, hallelujah, from blindness to sight and from darkness to light, hallelujah. He brought you out of darkness. Now you're light in the Lord. That's what the Bible said. And you and I crave light. I crave light, don't you? And to be honest with you, I can sleep with the light on at night if I have to. Don't bother me a bit. Really don't. In fact, when I'm tired, I can sleep about anywhere, anytime. I'm not sleepy right now, but when I am, I can sleep about anywhere, anytime. I thank God for the light, though. I don't like dark places. I don't like to go into a restaurant and they have the lights so dim in there I can't see my plate. I don't know what might run across it. And some places you might have to worry about that. But I like the light. God has brought us from darkness to light. God has brought us from blindness to sight. And the Bible says that ye may receive, the scripture said, and from the power of Satan unto God. Now you think about this. When you got born again, you did more than just pray a prayer. You did more than just recite a prayer. You were turned from the power of Satan unto God. God so worked in you that the psalmist said in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who be hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God did such a tremendous work that He took you out of Satan's kingdom. He took you out of Satan's grasp. The Bible said that He had translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And God took you out of Satan's family. And God took you out of Satan's grasp. And God took you out of Satan's kingdom. And He placed you in Christ. And now you're on the victory side. Now you are one of His, and you're walking in the kingdom of light, and you're walking in the power of the Son, and you're living under the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm talking about a miracle of God. This is what God does when He saves a person. From blindness to sight, from darkness to light, from Satan to the Savior. Amen. God does all of that instantaneously when He saves you. Instantaneously. And when I think about this miracle of God, from death unto life, all of these things encompassed in the testimonial text that we just quoted to you. All through the scripture we find those who came into the presence of Christ and were changed by Him. But there's so many today, I fear, that have never experienced the grace of God. There's three missing things in many modern conversions. Number one, the first thing that is missing is conviction. You say, are you going to get mysterious with us? No, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said that Jesus said in John 16, and when He has come, He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness because they go to My Father. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. No one gets to Christ who is not dealt with by the Holy Ghost of God. No one comes into this divine miracle that is not dealt with by the Holy Ghost of God. I want to tell you, I sat under the preached word of God, service after service, and God was working away on my life. He was willing away through His book over my self-righteousness and showing me what a sinner and an old ungodly reprobate of an individual that I was, bringing me to the place that I would not believe there was one good thing about me. And the Holy Ghost brought me to that place of desperation. And you'll never cry out to God until God, the Holy Spirit, brings you to the place where you realize you're lost and you need to turn to Christ in desperation and take Him as your Lord and Savior. And I'm glad I know what it was like that very moment when back there in that pew, I remember the preacher had preached that some of the folks had said in their mind over several services. They told me this later on, Brother Hall. They said, I walked out of some very powerful services, but they didn't know how God was working on me. And one of them said, more than one time, if he didn't get saved in this one, he's probably never going to get saved. Well, it's not up to you, honey. It's up to God. No, I thank God that on that Sunday morning, at the long arm of God, the power of the Holy Ghost reached back there where I was and got a hold of my heart. And I'm telling you, honey, I realized. He said, if you die today, we're talking about invitation time now. He said, if you die today, do you know whether or not you'd go to heaven? Now I'm telling you, my mind started running like a film reel. I thought about every time I couldn't realize or remember how I got home. I thought about the many times I should already been dead. I thought about, well, I'm about just about 30 days away from graduating high school, and God's not in any of my plans. Everything I've got planned is something wicked and ungodly. Oh, and I thank God, friend, and God hung me out back there, and He dealt with me in such a real and powerful way. I could not get away from what God was doing in my heart. He was dealing with me and showing me I was lost and I needed a Savior. Hallelujah. And I remember about that time the old enemy came by and he said, don't you go down there. He said, everybody in this church will laugh at you if you go down there. And I thought, oh my soul, I don't like to be laughed at. And I remember, I guess the Lord was really working on his heart, because I was standing beside the man who brought me to church. And I remember standing there and I thought, well, I don't want anybody to laugh. I said, but I'm going to have to go. And I remember he said, look, just take the hand of that one if you have to, that brought you to church, and come on down. And I looked down and his hand was on the pew. And I said, God, I don't know if he's ready, but I know I am. And I got his hand and here we went down the aisle. And I guess I drug him about all the way down there. And when I got down to the front, the preacher said, would you like to be saved? I said, I sure would. Oh, thank God for the dealing of the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, thank God for of the wonderful office work of the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. And if you get to God, it'll be because He has dealt with your heart. And He's drawn you. And I remember that drawing power that day. And there's an old white-haired preacher in that service that morning. And he was right over here on one side. And I remember the pastor called his name and said, come here. And he took me and he took this King James Bible. And he opened it up. And I remember him going through the scriptures that he showed me I was a sinner. I didn't need no convincing of that. I already knew that. I was very much convinced that I was an old wicked, ungodly sinner. And I remember he took me down through the Word of God and he showed me what the consequences were. And then I remember he said, now Tommy, he said, are you willing to take Christ today? And I told him I was. He said, will you call on him? I said, I will. And we got down and he looked over at me and he said, now you pray. And I thought, well, I don't know how to pray. The only prayers I ever prayed, Brother Hall, was kind of emergency prayers. You know, God, get me out of this. I won't ever get into this again. Usually those were lies. Lies uttered to the Lord. Lies in the presence of God. And he looked at me and he, just to discern and dear soul winning witness and man, he said, just tell God what you are and ask Him to forgive you. And boy, I started calling out to Him and I said, God, I'm this and I'm this. And Lord, this is what I have. I said, I'm black as 10 midnights. I said, but if you'll take somebody like me, I'm coming right now. I want to take Jesus as my Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I took the Son of God. And right there in that place, God delivered me by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Something took place in my heart. And the scripture he used, the last scripture he read me was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he stopped and he said, that whosoever, and he pointed at that word, he said, that's you, Tommy. He said, that's you. For the first time in my life, I've been in this world almost 18 years, for the first time in my life, in my mind's eye, I could realize and see in my mind's eye that Jesus died on that old rugged cross for me. And that he gave himself for me. No, the Holy Spirit dealt with me in such a real way. I remember as I got up from that place, there was a lot of things in my life. I'm not going to advertise them tonight. I'm not going to tell you all the scars and all the places and all the things and all the addictions and all the passions and all the things. The world had its hold on my life. Oh, but I want to tell you that very day, I could have told you that very time. I said to myself, I'll never be back. Thank God, I'll never go back, because what's happened right now, there has something taken place in my heart. It's such a divine miracle that I'll never be the same. I knew in my heart that God had worked the miracle through his mighty power. I say to you tonight, bless the Lord, oh my soul. There is a convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. He begins to deal with you just like the Bible said. And then he begins to draw you. No man can come to me, Jesus said, except the Father which sent me draw him. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I'm so glad that he dealt with me. I'm glad he drew me. And I'm glad he delivered me by his power. The Holy Spirit brought me out through the power of the gospel. And I knew immediately that I was saved. I knew that. In fact, I was asked by the pastor to stand up and to say something about what God had done for me. In fact, the man who prayed with me that morning said, I'd like for you to tell the church what the Lord did for you. And it sounded something like this. I wept my way through all of it. Hallelujah. One of the missing things in many modern conversions today is the wonderful divine work of conviction. We're not salesmen. We're not showmen. We're not statisticians, if I said that right. We're not trying to count noses. What really matters is if God got a hold of your heart through the power of God and you have been changed. The Holy Spirit did His work in your heart on that day, no matter what place in life you were. Whether you were five as a little child and you come in childlike faith and you took Christ as your Savior, you're 55. And isn't it wonderful the Lord can save you no matter where you are or what your background is or what you have been through, no matter what your rap sheet looks like or what your pedigree looks like or what side of town you come from. Isn't it wonderful that the power of God can reach you where you are? And I'm glad whether you have no church background at all or whether you've heard the gospel all of your days, the power of the Holy Spirit will engage your heart in such a way that you will realize that you are unfit, ungodly, unholy, and unsaved. And you'll turn to Christ and you'll take Him. But the power of God, the same miracle working power of God that worked in Christ's life while He was here. The first missing thing is conviction. Yep. The second missing thing in so many modern professions of faith is conversion. Yep. Conversion is a turning to God. And if it is, Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. Conversion is a turning to God. Now, this thing of conviction leads to repentance. Repentance is a turning from sin unto God. Testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You and I tonight will never get born again until you and I are convicted and we turn to God. Amen. And in that turning to God, you turn from sin and self to the Savior. Now, conviction and conversion makes you do an about face. Salvation is not a speed bump in your life. Some of you got the illustration. It's not a speed bump. A lot of people have had a speed bump salvation experience, but it's really not a salvation experience at all. It's a profession without possession. They slowed down long enough to catch a speed bump and then kept going in the same direction. That's not real biblical salvation. I remember some time ago I came back in, our church was out. This has been several years ago, our church was out knocking doors and going after people with the gospel. And someone called me on the phone. I was actually on my way back home, which is not far from the church, and they said, "Preacher, are you home?" I said, "Not yet, but I'm headed that way." They said, "We have someone that's coming to the church that we tried to talk to. This person was a drug addict. And they said, we'd like for you, if you could, to talk to him." I said, "I'd love to." Said, "When you get back, we'll be on the front porch of the church. We'll be out there on the steps." This young lady I spoke to in the presence of everyone else that was there. It's a heroin addict. And she began to tell about her desperate condition. Now in this day, I'm hearing people say words like Christian drug addict. Are you hearing that? I've been hearing these types of things. This is where God brought me from that lifestyle. And she began to confess and pour out the misery of a life that was a veritable slave to the substance that she had been using. found out later on her husband was a dealer. And their house was a house where many, many customers had come and went farther down the road to hell. She confessed to me, she said, you can see my arms. She said, I can't shoot up in my arms anymore. She said, I've shot up in probably every vein that I can get a needle into. I've shot up between my toes. I've shot up in my jugular vein. She said, I have gotten this drug in my body every way possibly I can. And they told me tonight that there was an answer. I said, not just an answer. There is the answer.
That's right.
And I shared with her the gospel that night. And I said, ma'am, I said, I can tell you that the only way that you can really get clean and really get free from what has you bound is you've got to come to Christ so He can set you free.
Amen.
She didn't do it that night. She came there that night in a Mercedes-Benz car. She was very well dressed. I mean, to look at her, if you passed her out here or if you were out in the market and you passed her, you probably wouldn't think that she was a heroin addict. But she was. A very desperate heroin addict. Some of our ladies in the church reached out to her continually and they kept bringing her back to church. And one day they were, I think, getting ready for Christmas or Thanksgiving and decorating our fellowship hall, and they said they thought it'd be a good idea if they just went by and picked her up and tried to get her there and spend time around her. And while they were around her, began to share again the news of Christ as Savior and Lord. And that day, there was a number of them. I mean, there was over a half a dozen of our ladies in the fellowship hall. And one of them called and said, preacher, we're here. And they called her name, said, she is here. Said, she's really serious about what we've been talking about. And I sat down at the table with her again in the presence of these other ladies. They sat down at the table with us and I began again to share with her that the only way out that, and she got frustrated with me. I didn't do anything to try to trigger this. She got frustrated with me. She said, you mean to tell me that the only way that I can get clean is come to Jesus? I said, absolutely.
That's right.
So that's the only way.
That's right.
She had already told us on the steps the time before that she had been to more than one rehab.
Yep.
And had went right back. She told me, she said, I went to Nar Anon. She said, sadly, the man who led the program, we got high after it was all over. I said, ma'am, I said, the only way out is Jesus.
That's right.
The only way into heaven and the only way out of what you're in is Jesus.
That's
she
right.
got angry with me that day. I didn't, and actually, she said to me in so many words, this conversation is over. And so I said, all right. I said, I understand what you're telling me. I said, I bid you to have a good day. And I said, I do want you to come back. And after I left, she fumed and she vented to our ladies. And they looked at her and they said, ma'am, our preacher told you the truth. Our pastor told you the truth. Said, you don't have to get mad at him. He's just trying to help you. He's trying to help you. She asked to be taken home. She was taken home. Sometime after that, we read in the paper that her and her husband had been arrested for selling drugs. But I want to say to you that the only way that you can get out of sin and the only way that you can truly get born again is for the Holy Spirit to convict you and draw you to Christ. And as He does, you will turn from your sin and your life will turn in a different direction. All of this that we spend so much time, and I'm not saying a Christian cannot get away from God. I understand you can. Plenty of evidence of that in the scripture, of people who wander away from God. I fear all too many of the ones we're trying to convince of the importance of church, of the value of Bible reading, of the true benefit of having a vital relationship with the local church. I truly fear many times that many of them have never had a biblical experience of salvation, and whatever has happened to them, their life has never been turned from sin unto the Savior, from darkness to light, from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God. And because of that, they have no desires in their heart to really live for God. My wife said to me the other day, she said, our pastor never chased us down. He didn't have to. You don't chase somebody that's standing right beside of you. And I'm not saying there's not a need at sometimes to go after some that have strayed away. I'm sure that there is, and I have. But I want to tell you this tonight. One of the missing things is that when your life turns from sin to the Savior in conversion, your life is turned in a completely different direction with complete brand new desires. Now you imagine this. I came into that church and my whole life before this was nothing but riddled with all types of sin, ungodliness, dishonesty, everything you can imagine. Didn't have a Bible. I didn't bring a Bible to church because I didn't have a Bible. And on Wednesday night, after I came Sunday morning, got saved, I came back Sunday night, come back Wednesday night, and the pastor said, come here. And we walked down a ways and went to an office, and he said, do you have a Bible? I said, no, sir, I don't have a Bible. He said, we're going to take care of that right now. And he reached in there and he got my first Bible out. And when he handed it to me, I took God's Word in my hand. And for the first time in my life, I had God's Word in my hand. I began to weep over it. I thank God for that little Bible he gave me. And he gave me a little pen, one of those highlighters. You know what I'm talking about? He said, now here, take this. He told me where to start reading, and actually it was in the New Testament. He said, now you read along there. Now listen, I'm brand new. I didn't know what a Philippians was. I didn't. If you'd have said Philemon to me, I'd said, what are you talking about? I don't have no clue what you're talking about. But he said, you'll be reading along there and you'll see something good. He said, and you want to mark it because you'll go back there and read it again. Amen. So I got it out and I started reading. And I went down that page, and when I got done, the whole page was yellow. I said, man, I show you that Bible. That's the way it looks in some of those pages. I said, man, it's all good. Now what had worked in my life? You're talking about somebody. I was in high school. I didn't take a book home. I went to my locker, got my books, I went to class, I got out of class, and sometimes I didn't make it to class, and I threw my books back in the locker. I got out of school, graduated by the grace of God and the skin of my teeth. I was not a student. I'm ashamed to say that. I was not a student. I was not interested in learning. I was interested in everything but learning. Everything I could get into in school. One day the principal looked at me and he said, I'm calling the law right now. I said, call them. He said, what happened? I tried my very best to strangulate the life out of another young man in the school. Not proud of that, but that's what I tried to do. They literally pulled me off of him. But I want to tell you this, what happened that day to me began a wonderful journey in my life so that now, this book is the most precious thing that I have.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I remember they put me in a class, a new converts class. And no matter what you are before you meet Christ, you're going to have to reap some of what you've sown.
That's right.
Now, I wasn't a good student. And I got in that converts class, and they used that little Rock of Ages converts book. You've probably seen one, Brother Shepherd. And we went through every lesson. And then the teacher said, we need to memorize some verses. And my mind was still well pickled in all the stuff that I did before I took Jesus as my Savior. And everybody in the class come in. And, you know, we had certain intervals. We were supposed to memorize so many verses and all of that. And I worked on them things and worked on them things, and my mind was still so cloudy. And I remember sitting there in the class, and I said, well, Lord, everybody learned theirs this week but me. And I'd go home sometimes when I was all by myself, and I'd cry. I'd say, Lord, I don't know how to find my way through this book. I said, but if you'll teach me, I'm going to learn.
Amen.
If you'll show me, not only will I learn one day, I'll help somebody else like me learn.
Amen.
Many times, I wake up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I read until I couldn't hold my eyes open anymore. I'd go to sleep at night, read God's Word.
Amen.
And I'd wake up with it on my chest in the bed with the light on.
Amen.
And I said, God, I'm going to learn that book.
Yep.
I said, I want you to teach me. I want to learn it. And God began to work in my heart. I got saved on April 25th. And in the summer of 1982, when I got saved, God began to deal with me immediately about preaching the gospel. And I didn't know anything about all this thing about the call of God. Didn't know anything about it. All I knew is I'd come to church every Sunday morning. I'd get there about an hour early, and I'd pray till everybody got there. By the time they got there, I was about ready to make a lap around the building. By the time Sunday school assembly opened up, I started to testify.
Amen.
Praise God and thank Him for saving me. We got in the class sometimes. I wanted to run up and down the hallways. I kept learning more and more about what the Lord wanted me to do and be.
Amen.
When I'd get all by myself, the Holy Spirit would say, God wants you.
Amen.
And I'd say, Lord, you don't want nobody like me. God, you know where I've been. You know what I've been wrapped up in. You know what my life looks like. Now, I remember there was a few other fellows in our church, and our pastor wasn't prone to do this, but he stood up one night, and one of these fellows stood up and said he's called to preach. And he looked out across the congregation, the pastor did, he said, God is calling another man to preach. And in my mind, I was doing like this. I said, it's him, Lord. And the Lord said, no, it ain't him. He said, it's you. I went home that night. I hadn't told anybody anything about that. Nobody. I didn't even know how to talk about it. I didn't know enough about the Bible, hardly to find my way through it. And now this is going on in my heart. And so I remember struggling, and I wasn't running. I didn't know how to run. I didn't know enough about this to know that I had to try to run from it. The Lord and I had some serious conversations where I was trying to understand what He was trying to do in my heart. I wasn't running though. I never told God I would not preach. I never told God I would do anything but that. Never. Never. I questioned though whether the Lord could use somebody like me. I questioned that. I did. And I remember that Wednesday night, and I got on the altar of God, and I was so miserable. I mean, my heart was so miserable. I have not been this miserable since the day that I got saved. And I remember the pastor got down there, and we talked a while, and he asked me some questions, and God worked in my heart that night, and I surrendered my life on that altar on a Wednesday night. I told God, I said, Lord, I said, if you want me, I'll go. God turned my life in a totally different direction though when I got saved.
Amen.
Conviction took place. Conversion took place. God so worked in my life, I started sharing the gospel immediately. As soon as I got, and I started testifying, I guess I should say, testifying of what Christ did for me.
Amen.
So I left that on that Monday and I went down there after school to the job that I was working. And one of the guys that I worked with, he and I were partners in all types of sin. And we participated in things every day. And I remember hitting the time clock and going down that aisle and seeing him there. And I walked right up to him. I never had a class, a course, or anything. This time I just had a burning desire to tell people that I got saved. And I walked right up to him and I called his name. I said, "Guess what happened to me yesterday?" And he looked up as if to say, "Okay, what did you get into now?" And I said, "Yesterday I got saved." And he looked up at me like he'd seen a ghost. I said in my mind, I don't know why he's looking at me like that. Why is he looking at me like that? All day long he treated me different. I said in my heart all day, I said, "Lord," I said, "why is he treating me like this?" I didn't understand. And as we left the building that day, and our cars were parked side by side on the outer edge of the parking lot, and I noticed he was quiet. Normally he'd be saying things and we'd be conversing back and forth, usually something bad, but I wasn't talking bad. He looked at me and he made a proposition. He offered me something. And I'd never said no, Brother Hall, in my life. Never. Something from deep down in my heart said, "You don't need that anymore."
Amen.
And honestly, I was discovering this new life. I was discovering this new life. And I looked at him and I said, "No." I said, "I don't need that anymore."
Amen.
He got in his car and he peeled out of the parking lot. And after that, he always treated me different every single day afterwards.
Yep.
And I sat in my car and the tears ran down my face. And I said, "Lord," I said, "I know I got saved on Sunday." I said, "but I didn't know it was going to be like this." I said, "but I sure do like being saved."
Amen.
God turned my life in a different direction. And I, every day I would try to speak to someone about Jesus. In fact, I would take my breaks at different times so I could go into the break room with the hopes that someone would be in there I could testify to and tell about Christ. There was a young lady there that always had a crush on my best friend in high school. And I remember I always took my Bible to work, and I'm not saying you're not a Christian. If you don't, I just always did. And I'd come in the break room, and there, it really is a sight to walk into a break room and you're carrying a Bible. I'm at a full-size Bible like this. And I'd put it on top of the refrigerator, and people really look at you strange when you have a Bible. I mean, I'd walk in and they'd be sitting there eating a sandwich and they'd look down at the Bible. They'd look up at me and they'd look down at the Bible and they'd look up at me and they'd look down at the Bible. And I thought, man, this is almost crazy. You thought I brought in a copperhead or something and set it up on the refrigerator. Nobody ever bothered my Bible. And I'd sit down at the table and I'd open my Bible and I'd get my sandwich out and I'd pray. And I'd say, "Lord, help me have an opportunity now to share the gospel and tell this person how I got saved." Said my blessing and started, and this young lady was on the other end of the room. It's just a small room. And I called her name and I said, "I want you to know something." I said, "Several Sundays back at the little church where I've been going, I want you to know I got saved."
Amen.
And she said, "I don't know what's happened to you." She said, "but I know you sure are different." She said, "I haven't heard you say one curse word in a long time." I said, "the Lord Jesus has changed my life."
Amen.
"My life is not the same anymore. I don't act like I used to act because I'm not the same person."
That's right.
And I got to testify a little bit there about how the Lord had saved me. My best friend at that time, I hadn't seen in a number of weeks now. You see, after I got saved, I didn't go back to the places I used to go.
That's right. Amen.
I didn't go back.
Yep.
I didn't go back to the hangouts. I didn't go back to the places where we went. And so I was out there. I worked in a grocery store, and I was out there on aisle number one, and I saw him coming in the door, the entry door, and I immediately started praying. I said, Lord, I said, I want to tell him what you've done for me today. And I found out later on he came just that day to see what had taken place in my life. He got down there where I was at, and he was a little backwards, and he said, I hadn't seen you around in a while. I said, I hadn't been out to the old places and stuff anymore. And I called his name, and I said, I want you to know, just a few Sundays back, I said, in that little church I've been going to, I came down the aisle and I got saved. And he looked at me with a puzzled look, and I said, this is what the Lord did in my life. I said, I'm a new person now. I said, this is what he's done. He looked at me that day, Brother Shepherd, and here's what he said. He said, I hope that'll happen to me someday. I said, it can.
Amen.
I said, the Lord can do it for you like he did it for me. See, my life turned in another direction. On Sunday afternoon, I'd usually spend my Sunday afternoon in the pool hall. I'd go to the pool hall. I'd stay there. I'd leave there and go to another place. It was even worse than that. And I spent my life, I should say, I wasted my life before I come to Christ. But then after that, on Sunday afternoon, I spent my time around a table with some of God's people.
Amen.
Went back to church, and then even later on after that, we knocked on doors on Sunday afternoon and went after people with the gospel of Christ. My life turned and went in another direction.
Amen.
I didn't just take up religion.
Right.
I didn't turn over a new leaf.
Right.
I didn't just join the church. In fact, I really didn't even know you were supposed to join the church. What I let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. I came to everything they had. I didn't come to any ladies' meetings because I didn't think that was appropriate. But they said choir practice, and I wasn't in the choir, but I came and listened to the choir sing. They said we're going to have a work day. Well, I came and worked at the work day. They had prayer meeting on Saturday night. I came to the prayer meeting.
Amen.
So one day somebody looked at me and they said, when are you going to join? And I thought to myself, I've joined everything but the ladies' meeting. I don't know what else I can get involved in. They said, no, silly. They said, join. I said, well, what do you mean? I come every service. I think I've joined everything, haven't I? They said, no, you got to talk to the preacher and you got to come before the church. And I said, we'll do that. And then they told me something. And I don't know why they said. They said, if you think the devil's fighting you now, you wait till you join up with us.
Yeah.
I said, I'm ready to sign up now. I want to get involved. And I did.
Amen.
I did.
Amen.
But my life turned in another direction.
That's right.
Conviction, conversion, change.
That's right.
It's all right there.
That's right.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yep.
I didn't know the Lord was going to do all that.
Right.
But he did.
Yep.
He did that in my heart by his power.
Right.
And he'll do that in your heart.
That's right.
My wife's life was a polar opposite to mine. I came to church as one of the worst of the worst. She came to church as one of the best, really. Already professed to be a Christian and all of that. And lived right and acted right and dressed right. Everything on the outside was fine. In fact, she lived cleaner as a professing Christian than a lot of folks that are members of our churches.
Yeah.
And I remember the Lord was working in her heart. I didn't know about it. We weren't married or anything like that. And our pastor was preaching on the second coming. Now, she didn't have all these problems like I had. In fact, as far as I know, never had gotten drunk or anything of the sort involved in any of that. She saw all that in her family, had no desire to go down that path. Just as clean as you could imagine. And our pastor was preaching on the second coming, on the coming of Christ for his own. And he preached on it for weeks, and it got so real. I mean, heavy conviction set in. And a young, she got her conviction on a Wednesday night. And I remember I was sitting on the front row, and I could hear somebody back, and I could hear them sobbing, just, oh, sobbing. And that was just a, they re, at that time, never even had an imitation song at all. Just quiet, holy hush. And I could hear somebody sobbing. And then all of a sudden I heard them break out, come down the aisle and fall on the altar. The man of God knelt down and said, "Can I help you pray about something?" She said, "I'm lost, preacher, I'm lost. I've got to get saved." She got saved that night.
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful transformation took place in her life. What God did in me, He also did in her. He gave her brand new desires.
Amen.
A brand new love, a brand new life. Sometime after that, she and I began to get serious about becoming a man and wife and went down that road and courted. Not, we never really did date like the world, but we courted. And we came together after about 3.5 years. And in 1989, we took our vows and come together as husband and wife. But she was a polar opposite. She did not have all those things in her life, but she still had to turn from her sin.
That's right.
She said, I learned to do everything a Christian could do. She said, but I couldn't produce the love and the life that comes from having Christ in your heart. She said, I realized I didn't have the love and the life on the inside of me like a Christian ought to have.
Right.
She said, I turned to Him and now I have the love and the life. Three things missing oftentimes in modern professions of faith. Conviction, conversion, and change.
Yep.
Let's stand with our heads bowed tonight. It's been a great week this week, but I'd hate to think that in the quietness of this moment that you had possibly sat for days in this meeting or weeks, possibly even for years, and never really trusted Christ as your Savior. Never really turned to the Lord Jesus and took Him as your own Lord and Savior. And our heads are bowed and the musicians are moving into place tonight. I want to ask you while our heads are bowed. The preacher and I and many others were rejoicing tonight about the coming of Christ. The Bible said that we, as Christians, are to comfort one another with the words of His coming. That is, it is a comfort to us to know that Jesus is coming. Is it anything less than that to you? Is it a terror in your mind? You say He's coming back, preacher. I'm not ready. Have you been acting like a Christian? Or are you really a Christian?
Right.
Have you been going through some acts of a Christian? Or are you really Christian on the inside? I'm going to ask the pastor to come and take the invitation while these come to play. Our heads are bowed and He's coming now. I want to ask you tonight, if you died today, are you absolutely sure you'd go to heaven? If you're anything less than absolutely sure, won't you come down tonight, get that settled? I say this honestly, not to sound super spiritual. This is not the message I came to preach tonight. This is not the message I looked over. God worked in my heart as this service was being prepared. And He wanted me to share this tonight. And I believe maybe there may be somebody here tonight who needs to get honest with herself. I'm not the kind of preacher to try to pry at people's hearts. That's not what I am. That's not who I am. But I want to tell you this. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day. And in all sincerity, Lord, Lord, many, it could be that your name could be taken off that list tonight. If you'll be honest with yourself, I promise you, you'd far rather go before the whole world and say, I'm tired of acting. I want to really know the Lord in my heart and my life.